And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Thursday, February 25th, 2021. Good afternoon to you. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here with us. MarketTalkAg.com is our home on the web, MarketTalkAg.com. You can find us as well on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at MarketTalkAg. And you can find our great radio affiliates on our website as well under the About section, including our friends at Fastline Fast Track, the American Ag Network, the Alpha Media Farm Network as well, and much more. You can find all the details and all of our streaming platforms we're available on as well for the podcast online at markettalkag.com. Well, red was the color of the day in the grain markets today, and saw a little bit of mixed action in livestock as well. Let's talk about it. We'll bring in our good friend John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing. And John, you're sporting red today. You're matching the markets. It was a rather rough grain trade today, but good afternoon to you, my friend.
Yeah, it was. Not one of those days that you look forward to, but a lot of little things working here, obviously, the end of the month's in front of us, so I think that was part of it. And you know, we'll talk about the export sales here in just a bit. And then, obviously, too, it's just, you know, we've had a strong week, and you know, got a few things kind of on the outside that's got me a little cautious. I've been talking about them for a while now, and we're starting to see some things happen in those outside markets. And, you know, maybe just with the end of the month, we got a little bit of risk off trade across the entire complex, not just commodity sector as well.
Well, let's focus on that first notice day. I know that's one thing that maybe is getting a little bit swept under the rug here because the export report wasn't very friendly to us this morning. But you and I were chatting a little bit before we got on the air here that that first notice day might be one of the bigger reasons why we saw the downturn in the markets today.
You know, in the corn market especially, that was a big factor. I think we actually started the day, you know, I checked in on the markets here early this morning. We were 4 or 5 lower on the front month corn. And you know, and then from there, if you just look where we finished, you know, we're down another couple pennies from there. So realistically, we're already starting to price in some things before those export numbers came out. You know, typically on first notice day, anybody that's long a March contract, and obviously we got March corn, beans, and wheat all coming up tomorrow, they need to be out of those positions, and or they risk the chance of taking delivery. So when you wake up in the middle of the night last night, you're seeing beans at new contract highs and corn still solid. In terms of where it was at, it was a great opportunity for those people to take some profits and step to the sidelines. And that just brings selling pressure across the marketplace in general. You know, you go look at some historical timeframes and charts in this window, we typically do pull back here for a couple days, and then we set ourselves up for some strength going into the first week of March. We'll see if that pattern holds. But obviously, you know, we're at some pretty lofty levels with a lot of length in the market, so it doesn't take a whole lot for all of a sudden to see kind of a break in the dam, per se, and watch the water flow.
Well, and looking at those export sales numbers that came out this morning, and that, you know, was kind of what everyone is hanging their hat on here today. And they really, you know, they weren't that great to us, but we kind of, I would feel like we almost expected that with China off for their new year. It just, you know, it seemed like, you know, we expected it, but yet that was a reason for a lot of folks to go, okay, well, time for the funds. You know, we're going to get out of this market. That was their reasoning, even though we kind of expected it was coming.
Yeah, you know, the numbers were disappointing today, you know, especially in the soybean side. And you go look at the total sales at, you know, 6 million bushels. That's not very much overall. And then side there was a cancellation of 11 million bushels by unknown destinations. And, you know, obviously that's triggered right away to China possibly stepping back on a few beans. But when you look at the whole picture, 11 million bushels is a pretty small amount. Same thing on the corn side. You know, we came in lighter on sales. You know, in terms of expectations, about 17.8 million bushels, had a cancellation of 11.8 million bushels in there from unknown destinations. You know, it just maybe became a little more of an excuse for things to sell off than the reality. You still look at the big picture, we are still bullish in terms of the overall demand side of the equation on the export front, despite today's little hiccup. You know, and we saw that in multiple markets today. China was a little was missing in the hog export numbers. It was missing in the beef export numbers. And, you know, so it just really was something that was anticipated, but at the same time, it still brought some sellers forward as people just get cautious, especially when we've had a strong week like we've had up till today.
You know, when we talk about demand here in the U.S., and we're wondering if any of that's going to shift to South America, they've been having weather issues. They've either been too dry or too wet. I know midday forecast Thursday looked a little bit wetter for southern Brazil over the next 10 days, but then you get into March, and it looks like that this forecast is turning drier across Brazil and Argentina again. And one has to wonder that, you know, even though we've seen some cheaper prices in South America here as of late, if, you know, if they have any more weather issues, that's probably going to push even more demand back to the U.S., John.
And that's if we have the bushels to do that with. You know, I'm still watching that side of it overall. But, you know, we've lifted prices, especially in the soybean side. Now we are the most expensive bean in the world. Argentina and Brazil are, you know, about 50 cents a bushel under us at this time frame. You know, we're still really watching that one little circle, southern Brazil, northern Argentina. You know, again, weather models have been mixed, but it looks like going into March, it's going to stay drier, especially in northern Argentina. We haven't seen some pictures come, you know, floating through social media of things drying up and crops being damaged. And you know, with comments by the producers or people involved that if the forecast holds true, things could get really, really become an issue. So that's still going to stay supportive of the market. We really need to watch the weather through the weekend. And if it does stay on the drier side, you know, some of the pressure we're seeing today will quickly go away. And the money will move back into the market overall. So, but, you know, in terms of what's going on in the shipment side, Brazil's starting to get those beans moved. It's taking some time still to get the harvest done, but they are getting things to ports. We're starting to see more vessels come out of Brazil heading to China. You know, they were backed up for a while and not getting things moving, but it is starting to flow a little bit more. You know, and again, that still just keeps me cautious. And we get to the end of the first of the March. Seasonally, we do see the grain markets come lower. You know, today we put a big reversal on the bean charts. Is that our topping signal here for the short term? Corn's still under the influence of that big weekly reversal from a couple weeks back. And we have yet to get back to those highs off that February report. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we chop around in here, maybe make a run back towards the highs. But then if we start seeing things continue to, you know, look a little more negative, that we just see some money move out of this market, we typically pull back from about the 1st of March till about the end of April.
John, you mentioned outside markets at the top of the show. How much is that influencing our commodity sector right now? What are some things you're seeing there that we need to keep an eye on?
You know, I've been taking a look at the equity markets specifically. I mean, at the time we're making this recording, stocks are down, or the Dow's down about 650 points. You know, big reversal signal put on the top of the chart here for the week. If it, you know, holds this pattern through tomorrow, and actually the last couple of days, we've seen a lot of volatility in the equity markets or in the Dow futures. Starting to see those 200-300 point swings back and forth during the course of a day. You know, it started on Tuesday. We had a hard sell-off. We rallied out of there. Wednesday, Fed Chair Powell was out again reiterating his inflation stance and the fact that they're going to be behind the market or behind the economy in terms of money flow. So we rallied to new and closed at new highs. And then today we're giving it all back plus a couple hundred points. So you can just see the volatility is really picking up there. And that kind of just makes me nervous that maybe we've hit a point here. We need to see some air come out of that market. And if that's the case, you know, you'll see it go across the board. You know, crude oil has been very elevated. It'll lose some gains. Cotton got absolutely destroyed today in terms of the market price. You know, so is it time for maybe the grain markets to take a little pause and give some gains back? We'll see if it does. It actually firms up the charts very nicely for the opportunity for the summer. You know, maybe we're getting into a bit of a window where the spring highs could be in those markets overall.
Yeah. If I'm a producer, you know, looking at a little bit of pressure build in here on this Thursday with all these factors, but then again, we've seen some decent moves back into this grain market, and you know, we're wondering if we can get into March and build some strength back and start feeding the bull again. I mean, what's my position? If I'm looking maybe out to some of those new crop contracts that are still holding decent value, some really good profit there, it looks like. I mean, you know, am I trying to make some sales off today's pressure, or am I just making sure I got my floors locked in and, you know, wait, you know, working on my targets and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I put a broadcast out this week talking to my clientele basically on new crops. I'd like people get to about that 20% window here. You know, we are at March 1st. We've got great prices in front of us on that DEIS 21 corn as well as the DEIS November 21 beans. You know, locking in a small percentage, make sure you're starting to build some base is not a horrible strategy. But obviously with that, we want to make sure we keep something over top to keep your flexibility in the market. But, you know, to be sitting back here with nothing on the books at this time frame and basically what we classify as a maybe an elevated marketplace in general, just makes me a little cautious. And then from there, if you want a little more safety valve, you can pick up some cheaper puts, kind of out of the money, just to kind of keep a floor underneath this thing. But again, the biggest thing for me is if you do price anything in, we got a lot of growing season ahead of us. We got a lot of things that are still going to fluctuate in this market on a tight supply picture. Make sure you keep some flexibility to the upside using some call strategies of some form. You know, old crop wise, most people have moved most of it. But again, I fielded that question a couple times today too. And it's just like, hey, you know, we got great value here. Continue to move some out, get out into September, own some calls over top, things of that nature. But again, you need to reward yourself if you've been patient to this point. At least get something on the books just in case we see some type of black swan event that could really take some air out.
Yeah, and I think that is great advice, and producers definitely need to consider that. And of course, it depends on your operation, but I think everybody is in a position at this point, John, where they have some room for profits here with these price levels that we're seeing.
Yeah, it is. And again, you just got to stay disciplined to what works for you. Start putting numbers into the balance sheet. You just can't shake your head no at these types of price levels. Again, not saying get crazy and lock in half your crop here. To, you know, I still think we got some upside potential. But again, seasonally, this could be a spot here over the next couple of weeks. That we could see things roll off and give up some gains. That might be a great opportunity to get something put together here and then go from there. You know, again, I'm kind of watching around that 5th of March. We got a USDA report on the 9th. You know, maybe we price ourselves into that report, think the USDA makes some moves. What if they don't off of that? And, you know, that opens us up to a little bit more downside. Again, the funds are still extremely long corn. They piled into the bean market early this week, so that we're going to see some length grow there. They've got some room to move things around if they really wanted to, and at least set themselves up for some room to run if we get into some summer weather.
Let's switch over to livestock, John. The hog market has been on fire lately, and you know, today a little bit of a pullback, a little mixed action. The weak export sales numbers for pork and beef. We'll talk cattle in a minute, but on the pork side, you know, I saw that front month contract, that April contract, it broke above 90 at one point on Thursday, settled just a little below. It was up on the day. What do you make of this strength in the hog market and its just continued run here as we near the end of the month?
Well, you know, it's all about the demand side of the equation and with the product that we're moving. We saw that with the cold storage report this week in terms of where we are compared to last year of pork in the cooler, especially since the slaughter pace has been so strong here going into the first part of 21. You know, so we're seeing product move. We got carcasses pushing the $90, $95 level. That's extremely lofty, and we're still seeing product move. That tells me the demand is very, very good out there. That's reflected into a very strong cash price overall. The lean hog index today actually broke through the October highs and is now trading at its highest point since August of 2019. You know, kind of again reflecting what that cash market's showing. So, you know, today's price action, I don't read a whole lot into it. Again, it was a very strong open, and it was kind of disappointing to see things fade, especially on a day where we had expanded limits in front of us in the hog market. We just kind of failed to use those. You know, so maybe we got a little bit of slowing here. We're definitely overbought, so it might be a window we see some pullback, especially with the end of the month in front of us, that we see some money move to the sidelines. But right now, the fundamentals are pointing higher. Definitely in those longer term positions all the way out into the summer months or even into the third and fourth quarter. Now, those charts look very, very good. Now, again, we could see some walk back. It wouldn't surprise me. And actually, given the strength of this market, it'd be good for it to get, you know, kind of rebuild the base and then give it some more room to run again.
And you can't tell me, though. I mean, for independent hog producers, I guess I look at this and go, you know, these guys and gals can't look at this market and go, oh, I'm waiting for this thing to run more, you know, higher, even more. I mean, we're talking 90 some dollar hogs. That's got to be a spot where you go, hey, there's some room to make some money here, John.
There is, and you want to be, you know, look to step in with some fixed strategies underneath. I do not want to hedge this thing right now. Otherwise, you're going to be maybe stepping in front of a speeding train there in that regard, because this thing could go higher. But what you need to start doing is thinking about some put levels that work, okay, as safety valves underneath. $90 puts for like June and July are just a little over $3. you know, you start picking those up, put a pretty good historical floor underneath and keep that top side open until there's a better signal that this market does want to turn over, you know. But right now you got to start thinking about what can I do to build some floor underneath. And again, like I talked about with grains, flexibility is going to be the big word all year, and using put strategies keeps that flexibility in front of you. Then if we do get a better signal this market's turning over, then you can quickly step in, lock in some hogs on hedges or lock in some hogs with the plant, you know, and you know, guarantee yourself some pretty good numbers here at this point. You know, right now though, the fundamentals say we're going higher, but again, like hog markets, livestock markets in general, a lot of times the big strength turns into big declines as the market likes to V in or V out of a trend. So I'm a little cautious of that, especially in this front end here with this strong push higher. Wouldn't surprise me if all of a sudden we got a reason to break, that we give this back very, very quickly.
Let's move over to cattle. And, you know, cash trade has been slow to develop here again this week. We had the special Fed cattle exchange auction Thursday. No cattle sold on that. We didn't see really any cattle sold on Wednesday. We're just, you know, we're chopping around in this cash market. And, you know, on the futures side today, feeder cattle were up a little bit with corn market down, but live cattle were mixed. I mean, those fats just not really moving out of this range. What are you seeing in cattle right now? Any takeaways there? Anything we need to watch?
Well, you know, the cash market, again, is the most disappointing factor in this whole picture. And, you know, 114 seems to be the number that's catching most business so far this week, even though it's still been overall very light. And it'll logically probably continue into tomorrow and late in the afternoon trade tomorrow before we finally get some more, you know, solid movement. You know, Fed Cattle Exchange is going to try again tomorrow on a special sale. So we'll see if we can get another bid or two out of them overall. But that's kind of the lid on the cattle market. Now, one thing, too, that's in play here, February cattle expires tomorrow, you know, so that's going to just kind of keep the market a little bit cautious in that regard, especially if there's a lot of length in length or short positions in February. They're going to be getting out of those and moving on to other positions. So to me, kind of I get this February contract out of the way, and then we can maybe start focusing on things a little bit more forward looking with April and June. But today's price action, like I said, very much a consolidation type trade. We did hold supports very nicely yesterday. It's been nice to see some follow through on the prices overall. Export sales were disappointing this morning. Again, obviously, China kind of was out of the market. You know, and obviously, we're looking at carcass values that are pretty lofty, so that puts a little bit of a bind on the export sales side as well. You know, but that's still the other thing. We still look at where we are in terms of the retail demand, the retail prices, $240 choice carcasses held in there pretty nicely again today. We've seen decent product movement. In fact, yesterday was one of the best product movement days in terms of boxes moving in the last 2 weeks, and we're at $240. So that tells you somebody's still in this market looking to purchase product. So the biggest thing now, cash market is still dealing with a lot of cattle. Having the backup from the winter storm did not help. We probably pushed about 70,000 head back in that window. So right now the packers got all the leverage, even though their profit margins are very strong with those retail values. They got a lot of cattle to choose from, and they're just holding those bids steady. Now, if we can get through that window here, you know, that might open things up a little bit more, especially as we move into the spring, but it's going to still take a little bit of time.
John, finally, before we wrap up, let's look at the dairy market. I'm looking at the afternoon milk futures here and seeing some decent price movement to the upside there. But catch us up on this dairy market. What's some of the latest you're seeing there?
Well, we got milk production report out here earlier in the week on Tuesday. One thing it did show at least is we're starting to see some declines. You know, and that was what the market was really hoping for. Even though we're still over last year, it was, you know, 1.8% versus 3.5% that it was the previous month. And we're seeing cow numbers start to tighten up a little bit. So we're getting some of the cows off the operations and moving in that regard. So that kind of at least maybe put a little bit of a floor in overall. We'll have to see if that's true. And then today we saw a nice jump in cheese prices. Not sure exactly what got behind that today, but we've got a little bit of end of month demand here. And that pushed that April contract limit higher so far today. So we'll see how that closes out the end of the week. Milk prices are still going to be stay fairly pressured here. You know, as long as we still got fairly decent supplies, we're still waiting to see if the demand side can pick up. You know, but right now it'd be nice to see a little bit of traction here and get some milk prices moving firmer. You know, I've been still talking with a lot of producers. I'm still cautious going in the first half of the year. You know, maybe we make sure we just get a line of defense underneath this to protect the bottom side. Don't have to spend a lot of money on it. They may be more of a protect the loss versus protect profitability, but you know, you still got a market that in a blink of an eye, we can rip a couple bucks out of it. Next thing you know, we're talking $13 milk again if all of a sudden the supply stays strong or the demand disappears.
Well, John, great insight as always here on this Thursday. Any final thoughts for us?
You know, just kind of watch how next week starts out. Tomorrow's probably going to stay choppy. Again, we're seeing a lot of money moving around with the end of the month here and, you know, squaring up of positions. You know, I did not like the move in the bean market today. Those are some pretty nasty turns in terms of technically on the daily chart. So if we stay softer tomorrow, that affects the weekly look as well. You know, we're still higher on the week. And if we come back, stay stable, you know, realistically, the charts look good longer term, at least in beans. But boy, today was kind of shaky. And then again, watch that equity market. It is due for some pullback. And if they decide to pull a chunk out of that market just because they can, you know, we're seeing interest rates rise up in terms of bond movement and the bonds selling off. That raises the interest rates. That brings the inflation talk into the market, and that makes me nervous because right now that market could use a pretty strong pullback, and you know 3,000 points doesn't seem like much when you're at 32,000, but boy, that should bring the sellers across the markets in general.
A lot of things to consider, and I know if folks need a little help, they could reach out to you and the team there at Total Farm Marketing and get some advice by just giving you a phone call or an email.
Love to chat with them. Again, shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com or feel free to give me a call at 800-334-9779.
And you can find all that info as well online, totalfarmmarketing.com. John, appreciate the time as always. Have a great rest of your Thursday and a great weekend.
You too. Again, appreciate your time and enjoy the nice little thaw we're getting us compared to the last couple of weeks.
I definitely agree with that. John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing joining us here today on Market Talk. That's going to do it for our Thursday, February 25th edition of the show. Find us online, markettalkag.com. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great afternoon.